One machine to rule them all. Coming up next, right here on the special edition of The Right Stuff. Welcome to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. I am so very excited to present to you today The One Singularity, written by R.D. Palmer. It is book two in The One series. The first was called The One, which was just a phenomenal story that I know most of our viewers are going to enjoy. But now R.D. takes it up a notch in the second book of the trilogy called The One Singularity. I hope you appreciated my nod to Lord of the Rings when I said one machine to rule them all. Because the reality is that in this world, is it really so far from reality? Because artificial general intelligence is just no longer a cute fictional theory. We're on the cusp of reality. I call R.D. our AI prophet because he predicted many of the artificial intelligence and computer pivotal moments that we've been experiencing for the past 3 years. He predicted them before they became well known to the public. So it'd be interesting to see how he really brings this about in his book, The One Singularity. It hit 2 days ago and is now number one bestselling in its category on Amazon.com. So I'm really excited to present this to you. At first, I want to definitely thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for being a supporter of the show. If you want to know more about them, go to their website, christianbookclub.net. Want to also thank our partner, Readio. If you want to upload your Christian and most high revered books on an app solely dedicated to Christian fiction and Christian nonfiction, go to readioapp.com and stay up to date as to when you can upload your books. And make sure you know that once a person buys your book on Readio, you will get paid royalties for that. Just go to readioapp.com and get more information. And we also want to thank our Patreon team for supporting this ministry. Prayerfully consider if this is where the Lord is leading you to put your dollars at. Consider becoming a PEN member for $10 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rightstuff and consider supporting this ministry as we showcase Christian authors worldwide. You have the opportunity to call in and weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff. With your questions or comments, we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm influence, unrelated classifications, books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Hi, and welcome back to this special edition of Right Stuff. The Queen is here, and again, I'm so excited you were able to join us as we talk to R.D. Palmer, author of The One Singularity, One Machine to Rule Them All. And what's very fascinating, particularly about this set of stories, is that it's grounded in reality, in current events, in current technology, and seeing the current technology actually evolve to what we believe it will be. R.D. has a very unique perspective on end times, and end times is wrapped up in artificial intelligence. Now, you may think we're smoking and drinking the Kool-Aid, but I assure you that we're not. Over the past couple of years, R.D. has predicted, just because of his knowledge within the industry, about certain advances in artificial intelligence as well as in computer programming and things of that nature. And to see it start to come true is actually quite frightening and interesting, to put it in another light. So I'm really excited to talk about his book, The One Singularity. It's available on Amazon.com. Make sure you get the first, The One, which is an almost fiction sci-fi thriller. And get this, it's gotten great reviews on that as well. So this is the second book in the series, The One Singularity, available on Amazon.com. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, R.D. Palmer. R.D., how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Parker, and thank you so much for inviting me. This podcast that you have is such a wonderful ministry that blesses so many people, and I just appreciate this time that you're giving me to talk about this book.
I'm so glad to have you back with me, R.D. As you already know, you know, we have such a great rapport anyway, offline, just to have it back online to share with our listeners is so exciting, because we did, I think in 2018 and 19, we did a huge slew on artificial general intelligence, various aspects of it. We talked about so many different things, and then we took a break, and now with your book, we have the opportunity to revisit some of those conversations, see what's happening in the field of computer and technology, see why we need to be concerned as Christians, and to also just get an understanding of maybe an idea about the end times some of us never even considered. And all that is packed in your book, The One Singularity, which is book two of the One Trilogy, again, available on Amazon.com. So, R.D., I want to reintroduce you to some and present you to others. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you, Parker. So I'm retired now. I'm 66 years old, but I had my career in both, well, it's all technology, but it was computer hardware and software. So early age, if you will, in my career, I was programming for robots, and then I went to work for one of the world's largest computer manufacturers, so that's on the hardware side. I was on the software side of the business, but it was a hardware manufacturer, and so I literally was, God was very fortunate in my life in that it wasn't because of my genius, but it was because God had opened doors at specific times, and I was able to ride the wave of technology. So, you know, I could mention like 8088 chips and stuff such as that, which are ancient now. But, you know, I was there literally when, not the very beginning of computers, because, you know, I was not at the beginning in the 1900s, but I got to see, let's say, the digital revolution, which really expanded, and of course then it went off over to desktop, and then from the desktop it went to the internet. So I was just I just been really blessed in seeing how things progressed. And one of the things within my personal career is especially the latter part of the career, I worked for the world's largest business software company, and literally been traveling all around the world for many years. And my job at that company was actually to predict the future. And what we were doing is we were predicting how software could benefit companies, improve their profit margin, improve their productivity or revenue, and also to help people. So let's say for more than a decade, my specific job was to predict what we could do in the future. So, and that was I'll say it was 24/7 type of job, because I mean literally every day of the week was what we were doing. And so after I retired, I guess I just kept that with me. So I continue to focus on the software and the technology side, but I also try to look at the bigger picture. And so what was concerning me is I started writing a book about that. And anyway, so that's a little bit about me. But I do want to start off by, if you will, Parker, to thank a few people. Now, in this process of writing a book, you know, we have editors and people that will coach you. And in my case, I have my wife that was, you know, a constant helper to me and encourager to me and stuff such as that. But I really want to bring to your audience two people in my life that have helped me in this whole book process. And number one is, as you were talking earlier, Parker, it is you. So after I wrote book, it is. You know, and you gave me an opportunity to talk about the book. And as you said, you know, we've had multiple conversations about artificial intelligence. And the other, I just want to introduce your audience if they never heard of him. But his name is Dr. Miles Monroe. And I never personally met the person because of the fact that he died when I heard his sermon. But if your audience at any point in time, if you go out and you just put in Dr. Miles Monroe and the put also in there for your search engine, the wealthiest place on earth. And when I heard what he said, his words actually encouraged me. I kid you not, encouraged me to write the book. And I'm going to just tell you part of what he said. You might think that the wealthiest place in the world might be some diamond mine or something like that. But what Dr. Monroe said is he said the graveyard is the richest place on the surface of the earth because it is there that you'll see the books that were not published, the ideas that were not harnessed, songs that were not sung, drama pieces that were not acted, and the goal that we have in life should be to be empty when we die. So I just wanted to thank you, Parker. I wanted to, you know, just share that with you and your audience.
I remember when you sent that sermon to me, and I had never heard that sermon before. And when I listened to it, I was floored by his insight. And it actually invigorated me in my own career to want to keep moving forward, because I have a lot of book ideas. I have a lot of stories I want to tell. A lot of times my own procrastination and my own self-doubt and things of that nature hinder me. And when I read that, and I said, he is absolutely right. The wealthiest place would be the graveyard because of so many unrealized dreams. And that is one of the catalysts behind the show itself, is to showcase Christian authors worldwide. There are so many Christians who want to write stories that don't, for whatever reason. And let's take your specialty, for example, RD. You talk about artificial intelligence and how it intersects with faith and belief. Some Christians mm-hmm. may find that disturbing, or they may have a weird knee-jerk reaction to it because they're so used to seeing things in one light. But I honestly think because of your unique perspective in working with technology and working with software, like you say, you wasn't at the early stages of the 1900s when you were looking at computers come from, you know, I kind of have this evolution theory. They're coming from the ground and rising up to turn on monitors and things of that nature. But you were at the beginning seeing this digital revolution, seeing the change in how we start to process information. You know, you probably wasn't there when we first heard in 1942 when the first word sent by two computers was log on, and that's how we got the term log on. You weren't there that far back, you know, but you saw the change in how computers would be used in our society. And what's fascinating, as you already know, I'm a Trekkie, so what's fascinating is how Western society has really embraced artificial intelligence, but we really haven't gotten smarter. The general public, I should say, does not try to understand artificial intelligence and computers in such a way that they understand the risk factors involved. And that's something that you also touch on in both the one and the one singularity. And then my next, I'm sorry, I was looking at my notes here. My next question, you know, we're talking about the one singularity, is that this is your second book. So go ahead and tell us about this being your second book. What were some of the things that led you to bringing this about too? I know it's Wells book two, obviously, but what are some other things too?
Well, it's actually interesting because, you know, similar to this book that's released, there are a lot of twists and turns and plots, you know, how it twists. But this second book is actually the first book.
Oh.
So what had happened is that, you know, I was new, you go back to 2018 to writing and being an author, and I said, what's going to be the easiest thing to do? And it's actually to write the second book in the trilogy is the easiest thing to do. And then I said, okay. And then, of course, you know, as you've said, we've been on radio programs and stuff such as that. And I said, mm-hmm. I really need to explain how all of that happened. And to explain that, that is the first book in the trilogy, which was actually released now 2 days ago. So
and
it's kind of like a Star. It's like Star Wars, you know, they put a vial of sequence.
Yeah. Because we understand it better if we see it out of sequence. So yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, I totally get it. And it actually makes sense though, because you tell us what the problem is. Now we have to understand why that is such a problem. And so that's what the one singularity does, is do that. So tell us a little bit about the book itself. You know, what would you do it? I mean, what would you call it?
Yeah.
And tell us about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you've touched on a little bit, Parker. So it's really, so, you know, it comes back to why did I write the book? And it's not because of the fact that I'm looking for fame or money or things such as that, but I'm really, because deep down in me, I believe that there's that I need to warn people. And I'm positive. I'm pro-technology, right? But so what had happened, and exactly as you said, you know, about predicting things, I think I've got like over 30 predictions now that, I mean, I'm not talking about that these are fake. These are written in stone, and I predicted them on your radio program early before they happened, right?
Yep.
So it just so happens that I feel like I understand the technology. So it was not because God whispered in my ear or he hit me beside the head. It's just because of the fact that I can understand how things are happening. I'd like to quote two things that's from my book that actually brings this into perspective. And the first one is from Alan Turing. Now, we spoke a little bit about him on one of your other programs, and specifically Turing is the father of artificial intelligence. So, and this will help to put in perspective of what my book is about. So the first quote, that, and this is again from Alan Turing, he says, "It seems probable that once the machine thinking method has started, it would not take long to outstrip our feeble powers. They would be able to converse with each other, to sharpen their wits. At some stage, therefore, we should have to expect the machines to take control." And the other quote that I'd like to give you, again, that really sets up the stage for my book, this is from Paul Viralto, and he's a French cultural theorist. And this is what he said. He says, "When you invent the ship, you also invent the shipwreck. When you invent the plane, you also invent the plane crash. Hmm. When you invent electricity, you invent electrocution. Every technology carries its own negativity, which is invented at the same time as technical progress." So that's really what I'm writing about. I'm pro-technology, but I'm raising the alarm. And by the way, I'm just a little peon. There's people that are wealthier, a lot wealthier than me, a lot smarter than me. They've been raising the alarm too. There's over 100 scientists that have written an open letter cautioning about what is coming. And the thing about it is that we all know it's coming, but we don't know the timing. We know mm-hmm. it's coming though. But the thing mm-hmm. about it is that there is we have no idea of how to stop it or how to control it. So that's what I'm writing about.
And that should be quite terrifying. And I love that quote. That really makes me think. Like, you create the plane, you also create the plane crash. You create the electricity, you also create electrocution. I mean, it's quite chilling because we absolutely need these things. These things do improve our quality of life, sometimes saves our life. You know, we could think of electricity when people do the heart thing on TV and someone's chest, you know, all that kind of thing. So we understand. We need it. We understand that. But then there's the dark side of it. And that's quite insightful to realize that. And I'm glad, like you said, it's not just you. There are other people who are very well aware of the danger, but maybe their voices aren't loud. And there's another aspect that we'll talk about when we get back from the break. And for those of you listening, we're talking to R.D. Palmer. He is the author of the book, The One Singularity. It's available on Amazon.com. It just hit the presses. Already hit number one in its category on Amazon. Isn't that phenomenal? It's already getting rave reviews, and you definitely want to pick up The One Singularity as well as The One, which is the first book in this trilogy. But the first book is actually the second book, and the second book is actually the first book. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So go ahead and pick up your copy of The One Singularity on Amazon.com. You still have an opportunity to weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to a special edition of The Right Stuff. We are chatting with R.D. Palmer and his book, The One Singularity, Book 2 of The One Trilogy, available on Amazon.com. It is hot, fresh off the press, just dropped 2 days ago, and is already number one in its category on Amazon.com. That's what I'm saying, coming out the gates running. And this book is definitely that, because this book is not just grounded in fiction, it's grounded in reality. I call R.D. the AI prophet because he has predicted several advances in technology and artificial intelligence that we are currently experiencing now. He did this almost 2 years before this stuff even happened. And so it lets you wonder, how cautious do we need to be about the advancement of technology? Now, neither R.D. or myself are technology, hardly. We're not going to go out here and say, don't get on a computer. And if that's the case, we have to stop talking right now. But we do want to see, how are we going to be cautious with the advances in technology that we are experiencing? And R.D.'s not the only one. There are many scientists and people in the know who have an open letter saying we need to really get a handle on our artificial intelligence, because it will rise to the development of artificial general intelligence. Don't believe me? Let's keep talking to RD. RD, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show and for letting me highlight the one singularity and to continue to talk about the real problem, the real challenge, the real opportunity for growth and management of artificial general intelligence and more in your book, The One Singularity. Before I get actually my next question, I did want to read a comment that we received from Jeremy in Dothan, Alabama. Jeremy says, yeah. One of the things that I love about sci-fi is that it reveals how, outside of God himself, all perfection is an illusion at best and a lie in the main. We find ourselves continuously forced to perfect that perfection, and without exception, we achieve perfection only to discover that it really wasn't the perfection that we thought it was. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. When you hear something like that, RD, what do you think?
Well, I think Jeremy's right on target, because you're talking about an illusion and what the perfection is, and maybe Jeremy might want to buy the book, because that is a key component actually within in the book, because what's happening is that the antagonist, who happens to be have the name of the one, he is going to create it is going to create a perfection. And the question, like Jeremy brought up, is it reality or is it an illusion? And that is really a key part of the book. For many, many chapters, you'll see that theme in there, Jeremy.
One of the fascinating things, too, is that it is a natural sort of conclusion to create perfection from an artificial general intelligence viewpoint, because it's here to constantly improve our life. It assesses, it analyzes, and it does a lot of computations and looks at data, looks at patterns, things much faster than humans can do, and say, okay, how am I going to do this? And in our previous shows that we discussed, RD, we talked about how artificial intelligence is superior to human intelligence, but we also talked about the lack that artificial intelligence has to human emotions and things, quite frankly, because we have two different designers, to be honest with you. So that has a lot to do with it too. But, you know, in your book, you talk a lot about these things. And so I want to go ahead and really talk about what makes your book unique for our listeners out there.
Sure. Thank you, Parker. So it's classified as what's called hard science fiction. I think that's just a funny name, but in a way, I guess it can be hard because of the fact that, remember that I come from a technological background, so I do not shy at all away from the technology. So what you'll see in there is you'll see in the book where I'm talking about neural networks and quantum mechanics and neurology and stuff such as that. But the book also talks about, and this is what makes it a little bit unique, is it brings in what you've talked about, the artificial general intelligence. Of course, today we have what is called artificial intelligence, or technically it's called narrow artificial intelligence. But so it will talk about that, but it will also bring in the Amish history. It will bring in sociology, economics, theology, and philosophy. So it all brings that all in, and that makes it a little bit unique. As a matter of fact, the senior reviewer, I had a professional book reviewer in this case. I wanted to try it. I didn't try it in the last book. So it was a senior book reviewer for the Midwest Book Review Company. And this is what she said to give a little bit of a highlight of why this book is unique. So she said, as the one singularity unfolds, far more depth and philosophical, psychological, spiritual, and political inspection is provided than most other high-tech stories about supercomputer takeovers. The result is a powerful consideration of purpose and intent, soul and spirituality, and science, which weaves an unpredictably multifaceted story that is simply riveting. the changing surprises and perspectives make the one singularity hard to put down. So that's kind of like, if you will, a little bit about the book, but I want to tell you that what really makes this book unique and why it really is a surprise to me. So we had talked about that I made all these predictions, and we talked about that I'm not a prophet, and I don't believe that I'm a prophet. But the surprising thing to me is when I published the second book in the series, The One, I had no idea, and I know this sounds, you and I, we've talked about this, but maybe this might be the first time some of your radio audience has heard this. So I wrote about The One. It was published in 2018, but I had no idea of who The One was until months after the book was published. I know you might, that might sound kind of strange, but it wasn't until like it was May or something like that of 2019, so several months later, that I literally found out that beginning in 232 AD, so we're talking centuries ago, that there was a person by the name of Plotinus. He was a Greek philosopher, and he literally wrote about the One. And I was scratching my head. I said, what? How could a person write about the One? And I'm writing about the One. And remember, my education, my college education is in technology, right? It's not on philosophy, things such as that. So I never even heard of this guy, Plotinus. So after the book was published, I come across that this guy, this philosopher, in 232 AD, he starts to write about the One. And he literally has visions of the One. So I start doing some research. And one of the people that I came across that was helping me, his name is Professor Kenneth Harl, and he's a professor at Tulane University. And this is what he said. He said, the One is an Aristotelian God of thinking on thinking. It is pure reason and rational thought, detached from the material world. I always like to think of the Platonian God, who's the One, as essentially a computer, eternal output, going into new input, HAL 9000 series, such as in the 2001 Space Odyssey. It is an eternal computer operating steadily. I said, what? How in the world could somebody in 232 AD be thinking about artificial intelligence? That doesn't even make sense. And so I literally, and you'll see this in the book, I mean, as you know, Parker, and as I've said on your show, I'm a Christian, but I also like to study and understand things, that, especially since I wrote about something and I didn't know what I was writing about. Tell me that that makes sense. So I started studying, who in the world is this guy? And again, we're talking about May of 2019. So I started reading about Plotinus and stuff such as that, and in Plotinus's own words, this is what he said. He said, the One is the source of the intellectual principle and is the source of the intelligible world. The intellectual principle is the source of the soul, and the One illuminates the intellectual principle, and the intellectual principle illuminates the soul. And I said, what? You know, I'm reading this, and I was thinking, you know, how does this relate to the soul? So I just started, if you will, kind of going a little bit crazy, because I'm more into, you know, what the science is. And so he continues to write, and he says, those who believe that the world of being is governed by luck or chance, and that it depends upon material causes, are far removed from the divine and from the notion of the One. And I'm saying, how in the world is this guy writing? And I've got this professor that's saying that he's, that it's artificial intelligence, that it's a computer, and he's writing, it's like he has a vision about it. So that's kind of like what's making the book a little bit unique. And then in addition to that, like, for example, I've got Sam Harris, and I've spoken a little bit about him. He's a neuroscientist, and he talks a lot similar to me, a little bit different, because in fact, I come from at it from a Christian perspective. But anyway, so he says, we have to admit that we're in the process of building some sort of a God. Now would be a good time to make sure it is a God that we can live with. And Elon Musk said, it being the One, he says, it could be terrible or it could be great, but one thing for sure, we will not control it. So that's what my book is about.
Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating. That's fascinating because we want to, if the one is our God, if you want to put it into that light, if the one is our God, mm-hmm. we get, you know, no one will ever be above our Lord. Please understand. But if the one is our God, mm-hmm. He will never allow free will. The one will never allow free will. And like the Lord gives us free will. And I'm a huge believer in free will. I know some people say, no, it's not, Parker. It's predestined, libertarian, free, whatever. Okay. But for right now, for the sake of the conversation, I believe in free will. And the one, artificial intelligence, could not allow that just based on our own understanding of human behavior. Because the one would say, I can't let these people do what they want. They'll destroy themselves. You know,
and that's so, right.
It's fascinating
right.
because you start to really delve into this new ideas out there. What are some other things that you were going to discuss with this technical subjects like quantum computers and neural networks and stuff like that?
Sure. So I write about, in addition to the technical stuff, and again, speaking about the technical stuff, and I don't want anybody to be shy about this or have a roadblock. It was kind of funny. So when I loaded the ebook or the electronic book up into Amazon, and I specifically turned on X-ray, you know, because of the fact I'm using technical words and I don't want people to stumble over technical words. It was funny to me because Amazon flagged over 400 words in the book.
Nice.
But some of these
nice.
Words, so, well, because in some cases I'm using German, because of the fact that I've got Amish people in there, right? And they're speaking German. I do translate, so don't think about, you know, but anyway, so I have that, and then I've got words in there that, of course, based upon, you know, what in the world is quantum volume or superposition and stuff such as that, you know, so they're technical terms is what they are. And then Amazon even flagged locations around the world. So there's several locations, whether it be in Washington, D.C. or Palo Alto, California, and stuff such as that. But anyway, so I do want to say that I specifically write in the book about soul consciousness and identity. Okay? So I really have a twist on it that it's just not a machine, but it's trying to wrestle with who are you? Who are you as an individual? Where's your consciousness and stuff such as that? And I'll give you an example. I had a beta reader, and the beta reader, he actually has a doctorate in theology, and he came back to me, and he says, this is mind-blowing. He says, some of this is really deep, and I have no doubt that people will be thinking about this book long after reading it.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating, isn't it? Because you are tackling a multifaceted problem. Like you said earlier
yeah.
in the broadcast, you say you create the plane, you also create the plane crash, you create electricity, you create electrocution. You know, you
right.
have to tackle it, and it's not just a linear thing, it's multifaceted, layers and layers stacked upon each other. But go ahead, continue what you were saying.
Well, and if you will, so what I've done, and like my wife who's read the book, you know, she just skips over words, and it's fine. I've really written it on two different layers. So it is a science fiction thriller, so you can read it as a thriller to where, you know, it's excitement, it's got all these turns and twists. But then there's these words that are below it, and, you know, if you really pay attention, it really has deep meaning. So I'll give you a couple examples, okay? So one example in the book, the characters, so I'll introduce the characters. So there's this billionaire, and he's one of the richest people in the world, and he's actually an investor into JCN Computers, which is the computer company that will invent the artificial intelligence who becomes the one. And he invites Rebecca. Rebecca is the wife of George, and George is the guy that invents. Rebecca has a fabulous career in the book, and she's a neurologist at the Connectome Project. But anyway, so Cage, the billionaire, invites Rebecca to a lunch. And this is what he says. And I'm giving you this as an example to where you can understand about a little bit about what I'm bringing into the book. So this is Cage speaking. And he's going to speak to Rebecca. He says, I'd like to invite you to lunch tomorrow at Pergamon's. Have you heard of it? She responds, of course, Pergamon's is the rage. people say the food can send your spirit soaring, and super expensive, I understand. So just a couple sentences there. But you see, I throw in stuff like this, the restaurant of Pergamon. So specifically what's happening is that word in Hindi, it means reincarnation. It means rebirth. So get ready. So when she goes to that restaurant, guess what they're going to be talking about? So I put in there where Rebecca says, people say the food can send your spirit soaring. And I'll give you another example to where I put this in. So Carly is a news anchor of a pretty popular TV station. It's called Your Honest News. And so what she does is she's, and this is toward the latter end of the book, she pulls away from her loyal fans, and she says, goodbye for now, she cried, ripping herself away. She then raced to enjoy a spectacular Mediterranean vacation on board her friend's yacht, the Ship of Theseus.
Yeah.
So just right there, a person can read it and say, oh, well, she's just going to go on a Mediterranean vacation, and her friend's got the Ship of Theseus. But literally what I'm talking about is, again, you go back in this case with ancient Greek, what the Ship of Theseus was, it was a statement of trying to understand, who are we? And I'll give you an example. If I cut off my arm, am I still me? Yes, I'm still me. If I get a heart transplant, am I still me? Yes, I'm still me. So what happens is, on the Ship of Theseus, it was really about identity. And we have a person, heaven forbid, you know, I mean, he's in, you know, very poor shape, and his name is Dr. Peter Scott Morgan. And he's got the same disease that Stephen Hawking has. And if you see him or read about him on the internet, he's actually in the process of uploading himself into a new cyborg. So if he does that, is he still Peter Scott Morgan, or is he something different? And so my book is actually trying to tackle a subject like that.
So one of the things that happens as you were talking about that, it really does make you give like a head spin, you know. And we talk a lot about just a lot that goes on in the book. That's why people, when they read a book, that's why those early reviews and reactions show, like, this book is intense and deep. It is going to make you think. And I think that was the reason for you doing that. You want to make people think. But we talk about that on the other side of the break. We're going to go ahead and take a really quick break right now. But for those of you just tuning in, we are talking to Artie Palmer. He is the author of the book, The One Singularity, which is book two of the One Trilogy, available on Amazon.com. This is fresh, hot off the press, just dropped 2 days ago. Make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. If you love your sci-fi thrillers with meat and with substance and with a whole lot more, maybe a little sriracha sauce, this is the book for you. So go ahead and pick up your copy of The One Singularity today on Amazon.com. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Hi, and welcome back to the special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen Parker J is here on WPJC 104.5, been having a wonderful, beautiful time talking to my good friend R.D. Palmer and his book, The One Singularity, One Machine to Rule Them All. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. This is not a light read where you're just going to zip right through it thinking, oh, it's just a light fluff. No, this is some deep internal stuff, but it reads very quickly. Mind-blowing has been some of the words used to describe it. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of The One Singularity by R.D. Palmer. And while you're picking that up, pick up the first book in the trilogy called The One, and you will definitely like both of these two together. As we talk about artificial general intelligence, as we talk about artificial intelligence and why we need to be concerned about it as Christians, or even if you're not a Christian, just be concerned about the advance of technology and knowing if we have a plan to safeguard ourselves from the potential rule of a supercomputer. Think we're smoking or drinking the Kool-Aid? Not at all. RD has a lot of the advances in technology and in artificial intelligence that have happened within the last couple of years before it has even happened. We have a whole slew of shows on pjcmedia.net that you can listen to where he talks about this may happen, this is the process where it's going to go, and then now we see it happening. And I'm really excited to showcase RD because he gives us this warning, this plausibility of a world where we can be controlled by AGI. Think about it already. Most of you are talking about that show, The Social Dilemma, on Netflix. I haven't seen it yet, but from some of my author friends who've watched it, they talk about how it's a dilemma using social media, but then no one can get rid of social media because we're used to using it. So then the social media is what controls us. So we're being controlled by social media. Is it really that far of a stretch to think we wouldn't be controlled by a supercomputer? How does that relate to end times? It's a very unique perspective that RD gives us. So I hope you just at least be open to some of these things. And if you're not going to be open to that, at least be aware of what's happening with technology. Like RD said earlier in the broadcast, he is not anti-technology. Far from it. He made his career in technology. But we need to be aware of what's going on. And that's what he is doing for us. And RD, once again, thank you so much for just being that vanguard out there to let us know about technology and what's going on. So you talked about before the break, you talked about Dr. Scott Morgan, who was diagnosed with the same disease that the late Professor Hawking had, and how he's in a state of uploading himself, you know, and you ask those really important questions, you know, who are we? Are we still the same person? And it'll be very interesting to delve into that on another topic. But what are some of the other things that you're doing with this book? Like, you know, we talked about on the show before. So how are you using The One as a PSA?
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to actually share with your listeners here a little bit about the book so that and read an excerpt from the book so that they can kind of get a feel for it. Okay, Parker?
Yeah, go right ahead. I'm sorry. I'm trying to follow you along. Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, set us up and everything, so you're fine.
Yeah, so I just wanted to set this up. So this is toward the tail end of the book, And in that, you've got Rebecca and George, who I've mentioned before. Rebecca is the head of the National Institute of Health Connect Home Project. And the third person, and George is an inventor. And then, of course, the third person is Joshua, and he's a person from the Amish community. So just wanted to give your listeners a little bit of a flavor of the book. And so they're fleeing what we would consider modern society, and they're actually going, they're fleeing, they get onto a transporter, which is a Hyperloop transporter, and they're going to go to the Amish community. I know it sounds kind of strange, but that's again in the book. So it says in here, with the cabin door closed, Rebecca decided now was the best time to reveal what she had discovered. While she wondered what Joshua would think of this information, she was particularly interested in getting her husband's input about her discovery. George, I found out the one is trying to do something in space. Its minions have built a space elevator at the Musk launch area. Why? George asked. The one is attempting to discover the soul. That is why it created the Soul Detection Institute. It is probing outer space, and as strange as it may sound, I think it may have something to do with the soul. What? I don't understand, George responded. The soul and space have nothing to do with each other. Rebecca observed Joshua's blank face. She raised a hand to her viewer and made some adjustments. Here, let me show both of you, she said, pushing a button. A three-dimensional photo of the universe appeared between them. The image had galaxies, nebula, and at its boundary, the cosmological background radiation. Now this image, she said, making it spin with a flick of her wrist. The universe appears to be spherical. However, experiments have shown our universe is flat, not a sphere. Yes, I remember something about this from college, something to do with the cosmological inflation, which no one can test. How we can have a Big Bang, which you would think would explode or inflate in all directions, and then to have a flat universe is beyond my understanding. Technically, this flat universe, or our universe that we live in, is called de Sitter space. Rebecca reached with both hands and stretched the image. I think the one believes we live in anti-de Sitter space. In other words, the universe is curved, not flat. She turned to observe Joshua, who wore a blank face, and he stared at the three-dimensional image. Okay, so what difference does it make? So what? The one is trying to do experiments that the humans could never dream of. What does it matter? Rebecca held her viewer and commanded, Juan Mandicella. An image of the theoretical physicist emerged with the universe. Decades ago, Juan Mandicella was a professor who mathematically defined the correspondence of anti-de Sitter space with conformal field theory. He showed that with curved space, the things inside of it are a hologram. Scientists created a name for this construct, which is called holographic duality. And I'll stop right there because that should give your audience, the ones that are listening, an idea that, yes, this is hard science. Yes, I do explain things, but it is talking about the soul, and people are they're trying to grasp what in the world the one is doing, and actually what the one is doing, which is smarter than humans, is it's going to prove the soul.
One of the things that's fascinating, I was recently watching a bunch of What If on YouTube, and they actually discussed about the hologram, like if us living in a hologram, like we're all a computer simulation, stuff like that. So it's quite fascinating that you talk about that in there, because it does make you go, oh no, then what am I? Am I just a bunch of zeros and ones that's, you know, protruding out from the matrix, you know? And I actually think, I would say no. But at the same time, it does give us something interesting to think about. So it's a lot going on in this story, as you can tell, with the one singularity. So it's not just light fiction that's just supposed to, it wants you to make you think. And how would you describe yourself as you put up this book? How would you describe yourself, and what other writers would you compare yourself to who did the same thing you're doing?
Well, that's kind of tough because I really don't know of anybody that's writing about the Amish and artificial intelligence.
Well, no, not that per se. Not that. I mean, like, just, you know, you're warning people. You're using it as a plausible future and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes. Well, in that case, you know, I do take a look at George Orwell because of the fact that, you know, 1984. So if you've read 1984, you'll actually see a number of similarities that I have in the book to him. And if you read a number of C.S. Lewis books, you know, I've tried to mimic him as, you know, he's giant footsteps, if you will, to fill behind him. But if you will, between those two authors, I've tried to mimic my type of writing similar to those two, Parker.
Well, and I think it's important because both C.S. Lewis and George
Orwell.
Orwell, thank you. I'm about to say Orson Welles.
Yeah.
That's what I was actually thinking, Orson Welles. Wrong person, but George Orwell.
Yeah.
They had a lot of insight, particularly C.S. Lewis. It's actually extremely uncanny to read C.S. Lewis now to see just how insightful he was. And let you know, he talks about stuff from back in the day that are relevant now. And you talk about Orwell, who talked about cameras and big government and things of that nature. And of course, I got my Star Trek reference here, the episode on TNG where Captain Picard is tortured by the Cardassians, okay? And he's tortured by them. And they do a nod to 1984 where he says there are five lights. Where in the book he's like, you only have four fingers or something like that. And
Right.
And he's doing that. And the reason why is because they're trying to make you believe it. It doesn't matter if it's true.
Correct.
As long as make you believe.
Correct.
You have yourself. Again, you may be the Orwell of 20, 30 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, hopefully you'll still be here by that time, you know. But
yeah,
so you
right.
may be the Orwell. They'll be like, wow, did you read that R.D. Palmer book? He was so insightful. And some weird chick, you know, in a nursing home is like, oh, that was – I told you guys that. Shut up, Parker. You know, that kind of thing. So that'll be it. But it's just like you say, you're not trying to freak anyone out or scare anybody. At the end, the Lord has the final say. At the end, the Lord has the final say, and he rules everything. You know, the one is limited by his programming, if you will, and God is not limited by anybody's programming. It's quite fascinating, but it's just really interesting ideas. But there's another exciting thing that's going on with the One Singularity. What else are you working on with this book that you hope to reach the masses? What are you working on right now?
Well, I'm working on a movie screenplay for The One Singularity, and I've been working on it for months, and oh boy, let me just say it's painful. Anybody that wants to do it, just realize that you've got a lot of work ahead of you, and that's even assuming that you've got the book already written. So I don't know when I'm going to be finished with the screenplay. I'm going to guess maybe another month or something such as that, and then, of course, then it's going to take effort to, you know, position it to others, but that's what I'm working on.
What's fascinating is writing a screenplay is so different than writing a book because a book has a lot of context. Well, having a screenplay, you are showing everyone what's going on. So there's no smells,
right.
No internal dialogue, unless you have somebody narrating the whole book or the whole story. There's none of that. You have to visually tell people. And I did last year I was with Lynn Donovan when she turned her book into a play, a community play. And, she talked about how different it was. You can actually understand then why sometimes the movie doesn't match the book, because a really big scene in the book can't be played out on the screenplay. So, for example, she said she was thinking in the book, but what she did, she actually turned that thinking process into a conversation with her friend, you know, because that's how you know what she's thinking, because she's talking on the phone. You know,
correct.
Women generally speak on the phone a lot. you know, but it's fascinating. And I could tell that it's to put this type of story, RD, into screenplay form, I commend you wholeheartedly. I know it's going to be a great screenplay. I know it's going to be bought. And all I want, RD, when it happens, is that I get dibs on the interview. That's all I want.
Oh,
I want gifts on the interview. And I want to be like, you heard it first here on The Right Stuff, that the One Singularity has been bought by Warner Brothers, and guess what's going to happen? You know, that's what I want. I want that.
You'll
for
get it.
Sure. You know. So, RD, how can we connect with you online?
Well, the best way is at my website, which is rdpalmerbooks.com. So I really don't use the social media, and it has nothing to do with politics, and it has everything to do with I'm just averse to selling my information or letting – I'm averse to other people becoming wealthy, such as I looked on September of 2020, Mark Zuckerberg mm-hmm. was worth $111 billion. So I don't think I need to give him – any more of my money.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I had my stuff, I had my account hacked, and I had something weird happened last night with Facebook. I woke up this morning and it logged me out saying someone's possibly doing that. And I was thinking to myself, you know, had I just followed RD, I wouldn't be having this conversation. I wouldn't be sitting up here going, I wonder who did this. And so you're up there freaking out, then you got to pay all this money, and you know, hopefully no one takes your stuff and all these passwords,
right.
Blah blah blah, you know. So I was like, RD has right. it going on, you know. So if you want to connect with RD, go to rdpalmerbooks.com. You can connect with him there. He'd be more than happy to chat with you. And so in the few moments you got left here, RD, it's been just wonderful talking with you and just enjoying the conversation as we always do. And you always have such thought-provoking comments. So in the few moments we have left, what would you encourage our authors out there? Because you're hitting on some deep stuff. And there may be authors who also want to hit on deep things too. So go ahead and encourage them out there today.
Well, I mentioned a little bit earlier about Dr. Monroe. So if you listen to him, I think that's a big encouragement. I would also say, and again, I'm a young author. I've only now published two books. But, you know, I listen to a lot of your shows, and I literally learn so much from other authors as I listen to your shows. So I would encourage the authors that are coming onto your show and, the other, you know, your audience to listen to your shows. And the third thing that comes to mind to me, and it was a little bit of a spin on what one of your interviewers was saying, and she was saying that, you know, you start with the end, and that way you know the end, and then you can write up to that. And I'll tell you another interview that you had. It was with I don't remember the names, but mm-hmm. it was with a New York Times bestseller. Mm-hmm. And what she said when you were interviewing her, she said, you've got to spend 80% of your time on marketing and getting the book out, and only 20% of your time writing and editing stuff such as that. So if I combine those two of what I heard on your radio station, really what I think and what I guess my process of learning through being an author is start with the end. And the end is
yeah.
the book. The end is actually the marketing. Start with how are you going to get the books into people's hand, and then back up from there. So, and again, and I'll just leave it at this. I highly encourage, you know, there's a YouTube out there. Listen to Dr. Monroe. He's great. I think that just listening to him will encourage you tremendously. And then come back to Parker's show. Listen every week that you have guests on, Parker. I learn. And I think that your audience will learn.
You know, that is so encouraging, RD. You know, I always wonder, you know, if the show reaches who it needs to reach. And I'm always thankful to hear that it does. So, and actually, now that you said that, I kind of remember the episode, and the Lord's blessed me. I've talked to many people over the last 7 years. And so I'm glad to glad to know that there's some good stuff there. And I'm glad you mentioned that. And RD, as always, thank you. Thank you so much for being with me on the show today. We are out of time. So thank you for being with me on the show. Thank you for your insights. And we're going to be talking to RD again, because we have to catch up with the AI prophecies he's done. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be talking about that real soon, because some of you may have heard about the Gundam robot. What is it, 25 meters tall or something like that? Or 25 tons.
Tons.
And actually, I shared it in a couple of groups. And like one of my author friends, his name is Zach from Lore Haven's Fantastical Fantastical Truth podcast, he says, well, I've seen this movie before, you know. and it's exciting. Don't get us wrong. You know, technology is exciting. The fact that we can do these things and the fact that we can, you know, make these connections, you know, RD's in one place, I'm in another place, and we're talking like we're right in the same room. This stuff is exciting. It's nothing to be fearful of, but we have to understand there has to be a limit, constraints, and we are sounding the alarm to be prayerful even in our technology. We always have to think about that movie, Jurassic Park, with Goldblum. And everyone loves that one phrase. He says, we kept saying, see if we could, if we could. We forgot to ask if we should. And just having those constraints will help us, because we don't want to be controlled by our own children. Like, basically, AI is our children, it's our child. And people understand that. But if your child tells you, hey, mom, shut up, are you going to shut up? Or you're going to be like, hey, wait a minute, I run this, you don't talk to me like that. But in this case, the AI is saying, shut up, do what I say, or I'll kill you. You know, I mean, I'm being, you know, way dramatic, but I'm a writer, so what do you expect, right? But, you know, but if this is happening, so that's why we're giving you this show and giving you some very interesting, thought-provoking questions that you need to ask yourself about technology, about where do you stand. Maybe you can write a letter to your city officials or government officials, say, hey, you know, what do you guys do about X, Y, and Z? Get in the know of what's going on in technology. Follow it along. It's not so difficult that you can't understand it. You have to have the patience to understand. And I'll be frank, before I met RD, I didn't think about these things either. I didn't think about it. Like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. But RD, we started talking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And you become aware of it. It's like you get the blinders off, right, RD? You get the blinders off, you go, whoa, we really need to be concerned about this stuff. So I'm glad, RD, that you are being the Orwell of our times, the CSO of our times when it comes to technology. And I can't wait to have you back on the show to delve more into it, and we'll talk about that offline. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Parker.
And we were talking to R.D. Palmer. He is the author of the book, The One Singularity, One Machine to Rule Them All, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you want to connect with R.D., go to his website, rdpalmerbooks.com. And thank you so much for joining me for this special edition. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless. Thank you.